It is my privilege to invite you to today's sermon podcast. I have made the Apostle Paul's prayer request my own when he states in Ephesians 6:19, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, the words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." May today's sermon come alive to you and aid you in your understanding of God's plan for your life.
Well, I am excited to bring to you a message. Now, I don't want you to freak out a little bit when you look at the back of the bulletin and see the length of the outline. I'm not keeping you here till supper, but we're going to take a couple weeks at a time. We knew there'd be a lot of stuff going on today, a lot of great things. And so we just wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that you weren't overwhelmed by this morning. Talk about the idea about unity and community. See, it's unity and community that brings about a lasting change, and that brings about a lasting impact, and that only happens when believers walk worthy of their calling. And we might think to ourselves, well, what's this calling all about? In the scripture reading this morning, I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 all the way through 6. This comes from the NIV, so if you have something a little different, it may sound different, but hear the word of the Lord this morning. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all." May God bless the reading of His Word to your life today, the Word of God for the people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. Well, when we think about today, it's really been a day of celebration. We have celebrated these young kids growing up in the faith, getting a Bible from kindergarten to the first grade, getting that Bible that they will have for so many years to read it, to understand it, to let it speak life into their own lives. We celebrated the teenagers graduating, growing up, graduating high school. And a great accomplishment. Something that's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime thing you don't want to miss. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it's the beginning of something great. We've celebrated people expressing their faith publicly to say, hey, I identify myself with Jesus Christ, with His death, which indicates that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of God's grace. And they were baptized signifying that, but also their hope that they would be raised again in the resurrection because of the power of Jesus, because of Christ's resurrection. And these are celebratory things. I almost feel like we should have those noisemakers and those pointy hats, you know, because that's the kind of celebration we're talking about. We're going to celebrate here at the end of the service by welcoming some new members in to our fellowship today. And that's always exciting. All these things going on today, on the day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit to His church, to God's church, the empowerment. And so when we think about the scripture passage today, when Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling," or to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Now, that word calling has a lot of different meaning, and maybe even meanings for us gathered here today. For me, I think of calling as when I was called to preach, when I wrestled with 2 weeks with the Lord, and when God was calling me to stand in front of people and proclaim His word, and then later the call to become a pastor, and how this little shy, introverted guy didn't want to do that. My home, I thought, was going to be back in a sound booth, playing with the little switches and stuff. But God's got a great sense of humor. He reminds me of it often. When we think about our calling, though, it's not just that kind of calling. It's not just the kind of calling to where a man or woman would leave their home and go onto the mission field, short-term or long-term, to serve other people. Those are definite callings. Those are specific callings. But I think what Paul's talking about here, especially in the context of the book of Ephesians, he's talking about the calling that we've all had, and that is the calling of salvation. The call to come out, as it were with Lazarus, come out of the tomb, come out of the deadness, come out of your sin, come out of your trespasses, come out of all those things and live for Christ, lay them down at the foot of Jesus. Let Jesus forgive them, and then launch into this new life that God has planned for you. It's that kind of call that we're celebrating today. It's that kind of call that leads us out of our darkness, out of the darkness of our sin, out of the darkness of what seems like hopeless circumstances, but leads us into hope and delight and the light of a brand new day. Isn't that great when you've had just a crummy day and you just can't wait till your head hits the pillow because you have the hope that tomorrow is going to be better? And then when you wake up and you look out the window and it's just this perfect day planned for you, I mean, it gives you so much energy, so much hope that God has heard you, that God's given you another chance. This calling of salvation, it's what everyone is in here has been called to. Called to come on out of the darkness, come on out of your sin, come on out of the world's way of doing things, and come and live the way God originally intended for you to live. Come and find salvation in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. That's what brings us together here today. That's what is the common theme for all of us. We gather today because Jesus Christ has died for our sins, because at one time or another, we knelt the knee, we knelt even the knee of our heart and said, Lord, I submit to you. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you cleanse me of all that unrighteousness as I confess that to you, God? That's what brings us together here today. When you really get down to it, we've got different people from different walks of life, different professions. I mean, different everything. We even look different. I didn't hear too many amens, so I'll take that as a good thing. When we think about the common unity that we have, we can't help but get away from what Jesus has called us to. When we look to our scripture today, I just want to hit the first two points this morning, maybe even just one, probably just one. Because my encouragement to you beginning this week and ending next week is, would you walk worthy of the calling that God has given you? Can you imagine what Jesus did for you? I mean, the whole breadth, depth, this whole scope of it, that Jesus saw you, a sinner. Jesus saw this guy, a sinner. And yet he allowed himself to be crucified on a cross to pay the debt of sin for you and for me. A debt we couldn't afford to pay. Man, we looked in our wallet and there's no way we could pay for all those things that are broken in our lives. I got a free pizza buffet, but that ain't going to get me very far. I mean, we didn't have anything with which to pay the debt that we owed because of our sin, because of our trespasses, because of those things which just came naturally to us without even thinking about it. But Jesus paid the price for that. So when we think about walking worthy of the calling, what I want to encourage you with today is this. Since it's a day of celebration, let's celebrate God's grace. Celebrate God's grace towards you, towards me. Let's celebrate God's grace toward those who don't even have an awareness of what grace is at this point. They're trying to earn their way to heaven. They're trying to do all these things so that they can be good enough for God, when the fact is we can't do anything that's good enough to get into heaven. But the truth is that Jesus has already accomplished it. He's already made the way if we'll just trust him. We can celebrate God's saving grace today. One commentator said this, I think it's written in your bulletin, a believer's life should be a response of gratitude to God's grace. Man, I know we have bad days. I know there's bad days that just come our way where it seems nothing's going right. We've tried everything good, but it just seems like, man, I can't even breathe right. Kind of some of those times when you get into an argument with your spouse, or you just wake up and you look at her or him and you know that nothing you say today or do today is going to be right. They're just in one of those moods, right? I won't ask for any amens there. I'm not talking about you, honey. I promise. I'm talking about myself for sure. But when we wake up, we should have this heart of gratitude just ready to go, because we have life. Not only do we have life, but God's given us this chance to serve him, to worship him with everything we do in the day that follows us. We should have this great heart of gratitude that God has placed within us because of what he's done, making us part of his family through the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And to be excited about what lies ahead for us, because Jesus saw us as poor paupers, poor beggars, just wandering around aimless, not knowing what to do, that even when we tried to do something good, it just kind of blew up and wasn't good anyway. But Jesus saw us in that state. God saw us in that state. And he sent his only one of a kind, his only begotten son for you and for me, that the God of the universe, who created everything, the most beautiful supernova that you can see, the most beautiful morning sunrise or late night sunset that you have beholden, man, that God thought about you and decided that eternity was not going to be good enough without you in it, and made a way that you could have that way. That's what we're celebrating, God's saving grace, that God saved us from our sin. God saved us from those things which separated us from him. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Whew, I am deserving of none of those titles on my own. I'm not one that was always chosen first on a baseball team or a kickball team. Just so you know, don't choose me first when it comes to Sunday Funday kickball. All right. There's no way I'm any kind of royalty, much less a priesthood. There's no way in my own self that I'm holy outside of the Spirit of God and his working within me. Scripture says that all my righteous works, everything I can do to try to be holy, are like filthy, dirty rags. There's a bad connotation there. You can look it up later. But all these things is what Jesus has made us to be as the people of God. How grateful should we be? How grateful are we of what Jesus has done? Not because of anything that we've deserved, but because God saw us and he loved us and he decided to have this kind of pity upon us. But more than just pity, it was love to see us so decrepit in our sin that we couldn't do anything, but yet he came through for us. And when we live out the benefits of God's saving grace, we are ministering to God, but we are also in the process, we bless others. And that's what God's called us to do. God has called us to be a blessing out of the gratitude that's within our own heart. So folks, have you had fun today celebrating God's grace? Have you? Has it brought you back to that moment when you were baptized? Whether it was a full immersion like a dunking, or whether it was the sprinkling or the pouring, however God had you be baptized, however you chose, did you remember that time and how you felt? You remember the time when maybe you knelt at an altar and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you remember that time where a conversation with a friend led you to that faith in Christ as they showed you the Word. This is what we're celebrating, the grace of God, because it's nothing that we did on our own. It's all God. And God has called everyone, each one of us, unto this. But you know what? And I'm going to close with this just on this point today, that God is still calling men, women, boys, and girls. He's still calling them out of darkness and into his light. And you are some of the light bearers. You are some of the ones that are bearing that light wherever you're at, in your school, in your job, the places you go to recreate, when you go help a friend out, everywhere, you are the shining light of Jesus. And as those kids sang, don't let your light be hidden under a bushel. No, you shine brightly. And so I want to encourage you that this week, shine brightly for the Lord. Shine brightly in what opportunities that he gives you to share about the gratitude you have because of God's saving grace, that undeserved favor. Really, what I'm asking you to do is just embrace gratitude today. Embrace it like a big old bear hug. You know, when you haven't seen someone that you love so dearly, that means so much to you, you just can't wait to get your arms around them and hug them. You can't wait to express that gratitude that you have toward them. Celebrate God's saving grace by cultivating this heart of gratitude. And you know what the devil likes to do, the enemy? He likes to get in there and he likes to give you every reason why you shouldn't be grateful. For some of us, it's a short list. You know, we have a short list of things and we just get negative. And the rest of the day, we're just on a negative slant. Don't let that happen. Guard your heart. Remember every day, thank the Lord for the salvation that he's given you. Whether the times are good or the times are not so good, maybe even downright ugly and horrible, remember to embrace gratitude. Embrace the gratitude that you have. Recognize that your life, the way that you live, is a response to God's grace. And it's a response of gratitude. Can people see that you express gratitude, that you express thankfulness in the way that you live? can they see that you express your gratitude to God and what you do in life and how you treat other people, starting with your own family? Remember, 1 Peter 2:9 reminds us that we're a chosen people. God picked you. And God picked you first. You're first team with God. You are a chosen people. He called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Folks, celebrate that today. All right? God picked you. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God is doing. I only made it through one point today. At least I made one point today. That's a good thing. We'll get the rest next week.
I want to thank you for joining today's sermon podcast. You can find a copy of today's sermon, as well as other sermons and the sermon outline from today on our church's website, www.mvcnaz.org. It is my prayer also that you will seek out a church home that recognizes the authority of the Bible.